my conviction that these are people worth working with is slowly evaporating. You know, as long as I was convinced, and that doesn't mean that I'm right, I'm just saying that the basic foundation that I'm engaged in struggle with people worth struggling with, I was okay. When I spoke of being pained about my changing opinion of Dick, that's what is addressing the foundation of whether or not, not only Dick, who I think is just a symbol, but whether or not the institution that calls itself MSV is even worth struggling. You know? And bringing it back to, and then does that arrangement, is even AAI worth struggling. Because if we cannot house clean around our own issues, then are we even worth struggling with before we even get to the other? And I think that emotional overload is why my thinking is getting interrupted right now.
Well, just to bring back to your piece here, you know, when you asked us last week, you know, what was our commitment to AAI? The one piece that makes this work, quote unquote, easier is a commitment to each other. And I can sit here and look you in your face and say I have a commitment to you to stay in this room no matter how hard and how sad it gets. You know, I have that commitment. The same joy that we had when we couldn't understand why we were so excited to see one another is that commitment, you know, to be in this room. No matter how hard it gets, I mean, I can actually say that, you know, that I can be in this room committed to you, doing this work. You know, and if you cannot make the commitment to stay here, then, you know, I know that I can. I mean, I know that I can, and I don't even know. You know, it's easy to work with you on some levels, and some levels it's too hard. But I'm like, I truly have a commitment. I mean, to say that I have a commitment to you two, and then know that I cannot dismiss who MSV is to you all and act like I'm only working in this room is not a commitment to you. That's just simply not. Because I abandoned you on your reality, which is MSV and where you work. So I have to stay in spite of my fear and unwillingness to want to do that. Now, I don't even know what it's going to be like confronting these folks on any level, training or talking to y'all. Because the bottom line, I've not directly worked with these people, but I am impacted by the result of their inability to deal with their own fear. It's going to impact me just simply being in this room. But I can look at when I came into this house and I can see the sunshine and the joy that we feel being in the room with each other, that I feel like we got enough of a foundation to begin this work and do it. If I run from it, it's still here. It's going to come up someplace
True.
Else.
Mm-hmm. True.
So I want to get it as best as I can, no matter how hard it is.
Yes.
You know, to look at you, Loretta, struggling, it's like, oh, God, you can't struggle. You know, it's like I put that strong black woman feminist syndrome on you and won't give you no room to fall down because it's scary. You know, and it's like, oh, I don't even know Dick. So to imagine the impact it must have on you to feel abandoned and manipulated by somebody that you normally had respect for, when I've already seen what has happened when you've had mentors in this field fuck over you. And then, you know, when these were people that you admired. And then to see them in reality, it's like, oh, Jesus, how can I be out here? And they're doing this work. They have a reputation as a movement and a founder. And they're doing this work, and look who they are. How can I stay in the room with these folks?
You know. not only, I mean, like I said, it would be real easy for me to stand here and cast stones at MSV. Right. It is fucking hard to sit up here and watch those stones come at me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Over my shit. Mm-hmm. My accountability. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what's so scary. For me.
But can this be the safe place for me to acknowledge the fears, to acknowledge the anxieties, to acknowledge the confusion, the frustration, the hopelessness, that I might find some resolve? You see, can I find that trust here? Can I find that union here? Can I find that okay to take the risk and do that work? And if I can find that here, and I know that somewhere that's my base, I can work.
And try being Quaker and nonviolent and working with white people all the time and being here and knowing I can.
I need to look at that. Let's lay it down. I need to see that. Just lay it on the floor, girlfriend. Just, I need to see it.
You know, see, I got mine on my piece of paper in front of me. You know, I keep referring back to it. Y'all laughing at me. I'm like, hey, my stuff is there.
I'm sorry.
You know, what comes up for me, because I hear, you know, here I work at, you know, all black institution, and I'm involved with all volunteerism, and my spiritual work is with predominantly white, you know, situation, and I face my own isolation sometimes also. And I hear you, and I understand you, too. And this is what you're dealing with, or a lot of other stuff I dealt with. I understand, and I'll never, you know, say that I don't understand or don't acknowledge your anxiety. And there is so much stuff, like Loretta said, that I intentionally put myself into to face my ugliness. For me, it was. Because, you know, I've been taught the whole thing. Those people, them, you know, and I know all there is. I mean, here, I'm working on African-American studies. You know, so I know the dirt. And the thing is that I learned for myself how to confront. Like I say, you said, you know, how am I going to, you know, tell this person comes up to my dinner and talks to me about my hair. You know, and for me, I see that person as still crossing a line and trying to figure out how that person can come and say something and your hair was a point of contact. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that point of contact could have been led to who knows what else. And that's why I say, oh, I just tell them about my hair. And then if, you know, you say that, you know, the washing hair, yeah, that's the big, you know, who knows, problematic thing, because I know that there are enough white people who are now figuring out that we don't have to wash our hair every day. And it's like, do you have to wash your hair? That was the wrong question. Thing is, you know, how is your hair care? And it's like, how different is it from mine? And it is, you know, and that's like, oh, okay, all right, the stupid questions with the right, possibly the right intentions. And so, you know, and those are things I, you know, it's like, all right, just, and people working on both sides, believe you me, working on both sides, because I've, you know, put myself in these situations a lot. For some reason, I've ended up being like the only raisin in the dough ever since high school. I find myself in situations where I'm like up there, and not that I'm like the, you know, representing or teaching it, because it's hard teaching, you know. But I'm going to be acknowledged in my work and who I am and how I want to be.
But the problem for me, and you alluded to it, Lisa, as difficult as my work is with white folks, my greatest pain still comes from black folks.
Yes.
My greatest, my only experience of violence has been at the hands of black people. My only shutting down is around black people.
Yes.
You know?
If I say what we've internalized the most, then what will the original be?
be like for me. Because we practice the behavior well.
Right.
I mean, they ain't even there.
It would be damn easy for me to go and kick white folks in the ass for all the rage I feel when their violence to me is systemic. The direct violence has been at the hands of my own. The direct betrayals have been at the hands of my own. The direct experiences. And so it's a displacement thing to focus on their stuff and their racism and their male supremacy and shit like that. When I can't deal with Kwame, it's like, hey brother, what's up with this? You know, hey Lisa, what's up with this? And so, again, I don't know where to go with it.
I do know, bringing it.
And I do know that somewhere in all of this fucking work and fucking pain are going to be some answers that are not only answers for us, but are answers that are community-wide. You know, I just don't know where, how to get
there. That really resonates, and that's where I so much want us to be. And I think that's where the whole pulling back for me to this, to that point. That I feel really, really clear that the energy that I need to white, to work for a white organization, to be in the white world, I have to have spaces where I can fill up my tank. I have to have safe places where I can go and be all of who I can be and feel affirmed for it. And I want this to be that, and I don't totally feel that. Because that whole piece again around, I know the work is happening as we're doing this, I have this bias around the whole concept of the elephant in the living room. The famous elephant. is that, you know, clearly if there are issues here, you know, let's deal with them. I want to be able to come in this room and feel safe to be all who I am. And feel good with it, feel good about it, and that issues are dealt with, and knowing that people are able to do the same. You know, I mean, that's it for me, and I feel like there is some stuff we still have to work on.
Well, you know, I guess I'm going to say this, Director. I don't know. I've not worked with white people, and I've not worked with many black men. But I work with a lot of black women, and most of my tears have been from working with black women. So I know if I start working with some black women, and I'm a cry all the time, then I know when I walk into the room with some men, that there's going to be even more room to cry. And if I add more white folk, I'm going to have even more room. So the level of safety,
I only find safety
in isolation.
Like
when I am with myself and by myself, I am safe from any and everything because I don't bring nothing in the room that's going to harm me. I can keep out anything that may challenge anything about me. There I can't sit in a room with a bunch of black women and feel safe, but I'm going to give it to them because I have to. I have to feel safe. I have given you all enough of my trust to come to this room and sit with you. Just like Loretta talked about, it was unfamiliar for her to stroke a man while he was crying. I have not had two men touch me while I've been crying and not be able to feel like, is this okay? You know, is this safe enough for some man to be touching me that's not sexual? Because this is my only experience of dealing with men. I don't even know how to sit in a man's arms and cry without thinking. There must be some ulterior motive there. You know, something's going to happen after I get through crying. He's going to kiss me. Or something, you know. I mean, so just to be able to not, like I said last week, there are many times when I felt like rising up out of here, conflict. I heard a bunch of people say some stuff last week that lets me check myself. I had to check myself on everything everyone said. Anytime anyone said anything, I checked myself as to a perusal. Have I been guilty in perpetrating that behavior against that person? If he says to me he's felt silenced or not quite, he didn't say that, unheard, have I acknowledged him after he spoke? I checked myself in that moment. So what I did was acknowledge him. I could touch him. That was an acknowledgement. That's all I can do is check myself when someone says anything That is scary. That is the word. You don't look to somebody else in this room as the the perpetrator of the offense. You check yourself.
Check yourself.
What may I have done to contribute to whatever they think whatever they feel their problem is? When I'm looking at you, Loretta, what am I doing in this moment that may not, if I can say anything, if you feel isolated, can I make you feel like I am committed to being with you, how hard it gets that I am committed to you? I mean, that's all I can do is check myself. I don't look for any of you all to be the problem. I am the problem, and I am thus the solution. So whatever levels, but I'm only going to bring so much of myself until every level I bring has to be on whatever level I feel safe enough to do. It does not happen every day. Every day you have to peruse the room to see what's safe.
Mm-hmm. Right. We ain't talking definitions about unhard issues.
We're not talking about homophobia today. So I can check out on whatever that may feel like. I could be talking about something, but on any given issue, there may be safety involved. Mm-hmm. You know, we can bring any issue in this room and check out when there's not a level of safety. No matter how safe I may feel around you all, if I've not struggled with you there. And that was my piece when I said that I can look at any of you all and say, I've not struggled with you there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where you will be with me when I struggle with you there. Mm-hmm. You all may feel a level of solidarity with me on any level that I'm talking about now, but I've not brought up something else that may rock you. Mm-hmm. So I have to trust that when I feel safe enough to rock myself in terms of how I may feel exposed to you all, then that's my level of commitment to you. Is that I will trust you one day, if not today. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm not going to ever feel 100% unless I'm only 100% when I'm at home, safe, in a hot tub of water, dissing the world. That's the only time I feel safe. And then still, somebody could come in my door. You know, so there is no concept of 100% safety surrounded because there's any issue at any given time that I could bring up that would render me unsafe.
And that's really important to hear, Nisa, because, again, it speaks to the fact that we all are different with that, because I just really understood what you just said. And not in terms of comparison, but to highlight the point, for me, it's kind of like I know in my own work that I've worked on myself, I have this concept, I know what I need to feel safe. And part of that includes coming in the room saying, I am a black, gay, African, West Indian. I mean, those are some parts of me. I mean, there are other parts of me, but those are parts of me, at least politically and personally, that when that is acknowledged and valid and feel reasonably valid, or that I can put it out there when I say, wait a minute, here's some homophobia going on in the room right now, and this is what I feel, and I can put it out there and deal with it. So there's an acknowledgement. I'm not coming here invisible. Or if the language is going on and it's not, here's the silence around that part of who I am. You know, we spend a whole year together and homophobia has never been discussed. Hey, you know, it says to me, that's not a real comfortable place to go in the room. And so my approach is I take it on. I say, wait a minute. Just by me being there is part of taking it on, but by putting it in the room. And for others, it's like, that's not the case. about gender, that might be another one. So that is it for me, and saying, we're going to put it on the agenda. Guess what? I ain't going to be here. Okay? Because that is important to me. It matters to me. And how can I feel safe if I cannot, if it's not on the agenda in our discussion? Because then there's silences. I'm being silenced and not being validated. Mm-hmm. And that has happened, and it has happened in this group. I remember the point where they said, wait a minute here, you know, we've been doing this for a while. What about women battering women and men battering men? Mm-hmm. Usually in the context of a partnership. And so that's exactly, that's why, again, generally speaking, and there goes the individual defense mechanism, my comfort, I feel safe around black gay men. Mm-hmm. Place, I'm guaranteed a sense of safety, and so most of my energies and my feelings are with black gay men. I put, like, second Sunday, I put so much energy in that group, you hear? And it feels so good, and despite the hours and hours in it as one of these leaders, it's energizing rather than draining. And it says to me, I am getting charged. I'm so affirmed. I mean, our last meeting, you know, we talked about love and HIV, for example. And there were 93 men, black gay men. I mean, and I stood there and I go, I mean, I'm smiling, my, you know. I'm energized. It's like these are my black gay brothers in the room coming together with an issue that I thought maybe 40 might show up. We averaged 60 a meeting. Because I thought, they don't want to go there. But he says, that's what I thought. He says, when we feel safe and we're in a space, we want a space where we're affirmed for who we are. That's why Second Sunday has been so successful. And so I avoid places where it's energy draining. But being part of NSV and part of the white world mean is really to be non-selfish and think about the broader community. Because if I get selfish, I would be in a black world, a black gay male world.
Well,
and get sheltered there, and I wouldn't go any place else. But then it would be a selfish act.
Yeah.
But I have a community, the broader black community, which is many communities, that I'm concerned about, and thus my involvement and risking being pained in a white-run organization or any other experience. That's
mm-hmm.
the only reason I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And I go one step further is what I can say is that when I stay in the company of my sisters, I stay where it's most familiar and most safe. But when I step outside, that if I say in my work that I have a commitment to feminism and my feminism involves black men and my family, then that means I am dishonoring myself
mm-hmm.
and staying away stuff that may be harder.
Mm-hmm.
Not just safer, but they're just areas of myself that's harder to deal with. So that ain't even about, I could cop out in a group.
Mm-hmm.
So to come into this room and to work with my brothers is a true commitment of what I say I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that is safe or not, this is who I say I embrace.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do that, that means I'm ready to move to another level.
Yeah.
When I'm saying that I'm working on human rights and I can deny a whole group of people because they're white, then I am not about that. So this is my personal charge, is as I am broadening my political agenda, thus my personal agenda, because for me, the political is truly personal. There's
mm-hmm.
nothing that I don't embrace
mm-hmm.
that does not personally affect me. So when you sit in this room, if we don't look like black gay men, but we look like the supporters that you have for MSV, that means that you take a risk to step out because you need support here.
Sure.
You know, if we all could work where we felt safe, we wouldn't be here anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Right.
But what about the concept? Because what happens for me is that there is no safe space.
Mm. That's what I
think.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know, which becomes to an issue.
Thank you.
Because, so then the question is safety a precondition of doing this work?
And if it
mm-hmm.
ain't a possible.
Because
wow.
Yeah, there ain't no safe space for me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak for other people,
mm-hmm.
but I can speak to, which for me causes me to challenge the whole concept of safety in MSV,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
I've always consistently
mm-hmm.
done. Because for me, it's an illusion of safety.
Mm-hmm.
When we go into our woman-only groups and I feel as threatened by the white women as I would if they were white men. You know, we go into our black-only groups and I feel as threatened by the black men as I would by, you know, it's just like, are we going to a black woman-only group and I feel as threatened by them as if they were white men. You know, because when you really look at the pains in your life and the places where you didn't feel safe, it often ain't in your diametrical opposite. It's in that. The pain comes from that which is closest to you,
mm-hmm.
not
right.
that which is most distant mm-hmm. from you.
Right.
You know? And so if you really look at that pain, what the hell are we talking about safe space? I have to clone my letter to feel safe. And I don't even feel safe around that because my mind won't shut off. You know? And I'm not away with shit.
There you go.
You know? So even if I clone myself, I couldn't make myself not ask a difficult question. So what the hell is safe space?
Amen.
And how did that become a precondition of doing work?
Well, that's truly a discussion that needs to be had in MSV.
Because I think it's an artificial construct, and that doesn't mean that feeling safe does not work in a very powerful way, but are we truly safe, or is safety a collaboration agreement not to ask each other the hard shit? Yeah. You know, is that what we're constructing safety
around? That's the question that you started with. What is it? What does it mean? And it means different things to different people.
Thank you.
And for me, I feel safest when I'm convinced that even if I get hurt, it was not intentional.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unintentional hurts I can deal with. Someone who deliberately sets out to hurt me, I can't deal with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense to y'all.
Yeah.
So if girlfriend walk up to me and say, do you wash your hair? If that was her unintentional way to ask about my hair care, I can deal with that. If I felt it was her intentional way of saying I was dirty, me and her have been rolling on that floor.
But then, you know, to stay with that and go back to Dick, you know, in terms of looking at him and who you knew him to be, what did that feel like having a conversation with him in terms of intent when you knew he had information and he could figure out a way to be discreet without manipulating?
For some reason, and it just could be my liberalism or idealism, I like to believe that every third person at MSV is attached to MSV because we're in pursuit of an idea, which is a violence free world. You know, I have to believe that because it serves a very useful function for me right now. You know, that we will fuck up along the way, you know, is part of it. And so I'm not saying that I'm MSV, I'm within MSV as long as we don't fuck up, you know, but that commitment to each other also, I don't, that wiping my tears away interrupts them. Actually, wiping most people's tears away interrupts them. So it's really a process of interrupting the crying rather than helping with it.
Okay.
The feedback. But I have to believe that Dick, as pained as I am by his behavior right now, I have not lost my belief that he really wants to work on the same goal I want to work on, which is to create a institution that gives the world a process for ending violence. You know?
Yeah.
If I lost faith in that, then I don't know what would happen.
Right.
But if you know, stepped out of that piece in terms of what you ultimately hold, what is it that you feel right now in terms of your last encounter with Dick and in terms of how it's left you feeling?
It left me feeling very vulnerable, very overly engaged almost. Overly engaged is not the way to put it. I had compartmentalized MSV into a manageable section of my life. You know, once or twice a month we meet, y'all take 4 or 5 hours, we work and stuff like that. I get back to doing other shit.
Surprise!
And that's been an illusion. I mean, feeling that that's an illusion, you know, feeling that MSV is becoming a 24-hour working on myself kind of job, you know, of which there's only formal meeting times, but at the in between times there's the working on myself shit, you know, that's scary as shit. Because then it feels out of control. It feels overwhelming. It feels like it's challenging all the shit I'd rather not unpack right now. You know,
so then go back to the concept of safety, when your own mind could possibly render you unsafe.
Right, I mean, because one function, I do know as a victim of violence, one thing that we do very successfully is both compartmentalize and forget and fool ourselves, because that's the way we construct safety. Because we actively construct safety. In those kinds of ways. And so peeling this onion back means that all of that compartmentalization gets dissolved. All of those illusions I had in my head about the separation between my work at MSV and the rest of my life is dissolving. The whole concept, I mean, it wasn't until this point that I said, shit, anybody, no, I can't speak for everybody. If I thought there was such thing as a fucking safe space, I don't have the luxury of that illusion anymore. Mm. You know, where this time last year, I could have clearly described what would have been safe space for me. Mm. You know? Now accepting that I have to do this work without the luxury of fooling myself around safe space, it's fucking hard. You know, and that's just for me. Because logically, my safest space should probably be around white men. They're the only group of people I've never directly experienced violence with. You know, the logic tells me that. Mm-hmm. You know, but I have experienced violence at the hands of white women. I've damn near been raped by a woman that I thought I was in love with. Mm-hmm. So I've definitely experienced it at the hands of a black lesbian. Mm-hmm. I have experienced it at the hands of black men. Why the fuck have I not experienced violence? And that is around fucking white men. Mm-hmm. And that don't make no fucking sense. So how the fuck do you talk about safe space?
Wow.
You know?
Yes.
Gotcha.
It's felt dead. Does it become a condition of the work?
Right.
For me? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I can do the work and not feel safe.
No, you can do the work, not feel safe, and hopefully, truly believe that if I have a personal commitment to AAI and thus offer a personal commitment to you, that even in your fear of having to watch me as a possible person that could harm you, that you can also feel on one moment if I'm offering you some safety that I might possibly could do that. And you just have to believe it because I offered it. Whether or not I can hold up my end of it and not fuck you later, that's the risk. But I could turn into one of those, I could be the image of one of those people that has caused you pain in the past. Mm-hmm. At any point in time. When I look at you and see anything that could be fearful to you, I have to look at, well, I hold this back to protect her for the moment, but later I might not be able to do that for you. Mm-hmm. For you. You know, it clearly wasn't for me. You know, I was doing it, you know, because I thought I was giving you a gift, you know, but the only thing we can do is, I mean, I have to be able to depend, you know. I mean, because unsafe space means how do I function? And when I'm not functioning, after I left the conference, Men for the Eradication of Sexism, I classified myself as an angry black woman because I knew that if I came around any men, that all they would hear was loud rhetoric that may not make sense. You know, because I was afraid, you know, because I just left the concept of, I left a conference full of black men talking about ways that they oppress and hurt women, and the people who are doing that to me weren't there. They ain't the people sitting behind the tree watching me on my way out of the house in the morning. So, I mean, how do I function? How did I keep getting up every morning going walking in spite of this? You know, and it's like, it's not because I come into a room with y'all. Y'all ain't behind the tree. Y'all possibly won't even be there to talk to the man behind the tree, you know? So, I mean, how do I come out? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, I mean, I'm at the basic level of how do I walk outside my door? Mm-hmm. You know, I'll forget, you know, do the work. Thank you, because somebody's always coming in and out with keys. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like safety. I mean, I'm going to have, you know, it's like that basic gut level of whatever is safe is whatever I trust myself to bring into this room. This has got to be enough safe space. I mean, I noticed that I don't care how many times I've been burned, that I still have a commitment to believe that everyone has some good in them and ain't gonna do it to me. Right. I don't care how many times I've been hurt, I keep reaching out to the, maybe not to the same person,
right,
but to the same ideal of a person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, so clearly I must have some inherent belief that there is good in people. Mm-hmm. You know, I do believe that. You know, even when I look at white people, I believe it.
Great.
Yeah, that's what it is,
safe. And I had to ask my girlfriend if her legs were available for a
moment. You know, I realize that's what I have faith. Mm-hmm. I really do. Mm-hmm. You know, and when I hear people talk about don't have that, I know, how do you function?
Oh, Lordy.
How you feel?
You know, I'm telling you, I'm thinking about what you said, Loretta, about all those people. Yeah, I'll agree with you. And I can honestly say that the only people I have had the most trusting and safest time with are white men. Today, still, yes. It is its own, you know, God's own miracle that I am working in an all-black environment. I could not do that 20 years ago. I could not walk on the same sidewalk with a black man walking the opposite direction with me. Could not do it without feeling bile in my throat, about to throw up on him, run, kick, scream, fight. Could not. And that lasted for about 10 years. Yes, I have dated quite a number of white men and felt wonderful. Still do. Mm-hmm. But I've had to work with myself plenty of times and wondering where is my own racism, my own bigotry, and work hard to try and balance myself, because I know it was all those black men that made me hate them. And I'm talking multiple rape. So when you're looking at the hard work it is to deal with working in a place where I am actually helping young black men grow and become what they want to be, that was a lot of hard personal work. I made my own personal commitment that I am not going to let those black men form my vision of them or anybody else. And to come from that place of wanting to actually harm someone to the point of coming and making a religious commitment to a pile of people who believe in nonviolence, and there's that of God in every person, unconditionally. You know, and then go and teach at this place and really put my arms around black men and really say I appreciate them and I want them to be there, I want them to grow. No, I had to face all the devils of myself. And a lot of them were put there. And my commitment is in being here and doing this. Because I don't know, somehow or other, I am always being led to being in the middle of all this stuff. Be in the middle of learning and teaching and all of this. And every time I turn around, I'm doing some kind of cross-culture communication sometimes, kind of being in the middle of a lot of black folks trying to come up with solutions of and doing, I can't get away from it. I'm back here again. I mean, like, to keep referring to other groups and other things, other encounters and organizations I've been a part of, I have been here and in the middle of doing a lot of work, so I understand. It is hard. It is painful. And I have gone through, cried, screamed, knocked my head against the wall and hurting myself and trying to recover from all of that. So, you know, I'm here because it has to be done. And if some people do not go through the work of trying to do it, it's going to be crazy. And we try to blame other people. We got to start with, you know, what is the devil dealing with us?
Sit right here in this room.
So, you know, I'm here to do this work. Bring all my white people in here too, if I need to. Because I realize I got to understand that and deal with that too. And bring all my black people in here too. Because I had to go through a horrible, horrendous time in my life. Learning how to love them again. Yeah. I'm not done yet. Because I still, slip here and there, and I'm not perfect by the longest route, no way. But, this is what I do. And I'm going to keep on doing it no matter how many people look at me like, you a what? Like who?
Really difficult. The black man really pains me. And the pain comes from here, the assumption that it ought to be safer. You know?
It's like your thing at the conference was so powerful for me about, what if the men stay? Even black men stayed when, because I know how many women have stayed in a room when men's lives were threatened to die with their man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how many, everybody talk about, there'd be a bunch of dead folk.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the case. There's a bunch of dead women.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole different impact when you talk about a bunch of dead men and women as opposed to just a bunch of dead women.
Mm-hmm.
And just to think that a man would say, I'm not leaving the women in here. I'm going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it means I die. Because I know that I can make that decision for a man or my family. And to just think about that was just so powerful to me. That it gave me just enough hope to believe that someone could possibly reconsider maybe the next time around, even if it just means, not just a choice between life and death, but a choice to die with the woman. How powerful that could be for me if a man said that to me. If he got shot in the spot, and I'd be like, oh, my brother, you shouldn't laugh. Because I know I'd tell him, go. I'd want to tell him, if you can have a possibility to live, leave.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my instinct to say to go. But if they stayed, that would be powerful.
Part of the work for me, no matter the work, I feel like I need to go there. But what I'm challenged with is, even when I hear in the work I do, I really do believe, despite our histories, that ultimately an individual made choices. And that's what we said to the men we work with.
Mm-hmm.
You're making choices. Yeah. Blaming someone is a way to not take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I know for me, I find myself as I hear the issues around the black man and sisters being safer with white men. Part of me want to say, ultimately the white man is what create the condition. The whole concept of identification with the aggressor and how we have internalized all his shit that we first learned, possibly, I don't know if this is true, all about violence at his hands. And so rather than going counter to that energy, we have internalized and identified with it because we've been so stripped of that and been so traumatized by it that that's the way we find power at the expense of our sisters and others. It's really some stuff there.
And I know, I don't care who I turn to, even if I look at a white man as a possible haven of safety, they always feel suspect as to when they could become the one, it's still not even like there's a free moment, if I even chose a white man, but you just haven't had your chance to fuck me, that's how I feel. It ain't like I'm just, giving them all the power of, because if I start out with, just the psychological piece, they are the beginning. I know what patriarchy is and I know who I see when I say that. I don't see a black man, I see a white man. Level of safety, it wasn't no white man behind the tree, it was a black man behind the tree. But I know they've been behind the trees too. And mm-hmm. I don't mm-hmm. expect them not to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, you know, I know in the end when I think about this man behind the tree, it ain't nothing no white man had done to him that day. In that moment, that I'm gonna make up for. You know, and that's what my reality is. You know, I can't fix that, you know. And mama be sitting there, why you raping me? You know, brother, I know your mother messed up with you, and the white man is, you know, I'm gonna be counseling you while you have your way, you know. But I want you to feel that. Oh, yeah. You ain't gonna feel better. This ain't gonna feel good kind of thing. You know, I know that when I heard that, I was like, oh, what these black men feel. I was like, shoot, probably the same thing I feel. Intense sadness. Mm. That this is what has happened to folks. Mm. And that we have done these things to our sisters and our brothers. And they want to be, you know, embraced still lovingly. You know, in spite of all we know what has happened, you know. I don't even know if y'all in y'all work, if y'all listening to some of them tapes, it's like, how can you even wonder how a black woman can love a black man again? Mm. You know, that's the question. Right, you know, when you hear that, it's like, is that some of the questions that they make you, how can you even trust us, mm-hmm. you know? There ain't mm-hmm. enough we can do to erase all the shit I done heard just at MSB. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you even feel safe to come out, come out your home, because that's where it's happening. In your home, ain't no saving. Mm-hmm. Where do you go? And that's the kind of stuff I know when I listen to Batterer's tapes when it gets hard, because then I hear it, you know, and then it's just like, it's real. It ain't even pretend no more. I can think this happened to my sisters. It's like, I just saw one tape when I saw the work that you all were doing, and I was traumatized just by a man talking about how he beat up on a woman. Because I've heard women talk about it all the time, but to hear the man who did it talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, he did it and he could talk about it. You know, I saw this Oprah show where they had these football players on there talking about that stuff. And I hate Oprah and I hate them. I just couldn't believe how Oprah was laughingly talking about, you know, brother, what you thought when you sat down the street naked that she wasn't gonna think you was doing something. Then we gonna introduce this woman who Stacey's been raped, all in the same tone of voice. Player. You know, the man who spoke at the end, he, you know, who's talking about how men work, he has not even acknowledged to his daughter that he abused her. Mm-hmm. But he's up here teaching black men how to not abuse, and he has not even acknowledged his daughter that he whooped on her and abused her. How, you know, I was like, and my friend was like, you just don't have any compassion. You just don't believe. I said, are you crying while this man is crying? And she's like, yeah. I said, he don't get a tear. Not one tear will he get of mine. I'm crying for this woman that you revived with toilet water.